A new study released last month finds Asian carp may in fact be reaching the Great Lakes. The Asian carp is an invasive species with an appetite large enough to potentially decimate the food chain ecosystem of the Great Lakes. There have been many efforts to contain the spread of the fish in the Chicago area waterway system that connects to Lake Michigan. This new study now raises new questions about the effectiveness of that program. Dr. Andrew Mahon co-authored the Asian carp study. He's an assistant professor of biology at the Institute for Great Lakes Research at Central Michigan University. Welcome, Dr. Mahon.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining me, Dr. Tammy Newcomb, Senior Water Policy Advisor for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Dr. Newcomb, welcome to Current State.
Thank you very much.
We have heard a lot over the last few years regarding the Asian carp. Which of you is more qualified to talk about the features of this fish and describe its characteristics? Tammy Newcomb, want to take that?
Sure, I'll take a stab at that. So I'm going to break it down a little bit further. So what we're very concerned about right now are bighead and silver carp. In these two fish species, if you're familiar with native species, I combine them with, they're kind of like a Chinook salmon in the size they get to and the area in which they swim. They're kind of like a walleye in that they need large rivers to successfully reproduce in. And they're kind of like an alewife in how they eat. So they eat small zooplankton in the food chain. They reproduce at high levels and they have the ability to explode very quickly in their populations. So if you're familiar with native fish, combine the walleye, the Chinook salmon, and the alewife, and you've kind of got the properties of what we see in these silver and bighead carp.
And those are two species that are under the umbrella of Asian carp. I mean, Asian carp is the term that gets thrown around the most, but the bighead and the silver, are two subspecies of Asian carp, correct?
They're actually two distinct species. When we talk about the umbrella of Asian carp, those four species, the other two that we're concerned about are bighead carp and grass carp. So we know we've got some grass carp out there in the Big Lakes, but they don't seem to have quite the same invasive qualities of the silver and bighead carp. And black carp are a species that is still further down the line in the Mississippi River. So the two that are most imminent and probable and of concern to the state right now is silver and bighead carp.
Andrew Mahon, describe how you and your fellow researchers approached this study. You used a tool called eDNA, environmental DNA. What were you looking for? Tell us about your methodology.
So we came online in sometime in late 2009, early 2010, essentially to help management agencies look for these fish where they, you know, where the invasion front was. What the problem is catching these two species, bighead and silver carp, is extremely difficult. They don't bite hooks. Finding them when they're in lower densities is almost impossible. There's people that have gone out and, like, experts who have physically tied balloons with strings to the back of these fish and gone out and tried to catch them, knowing exactly where they are, and they can't catch them again. Even in areas in the Central Illinois River, which happens to be right now the highest density of these two species in the world, and there's numbers out there of somewhere in the multiple millions of these fish in a small stretch of river.
Wow.
They've done what they call mark and recapture studies, and they're catching less than a fraction of 1% of what they caught in the first place, marked, and then tried to recapture. So finding these fish at the invasion front was our goal. And, you know, I'm a genetics expert. That was my background. And essentially, Lindsay Chatterton from the Nature Conservancy and Chris Jurdy at the University of Notre Dame and I were sitting around talking, and we're like, well, how can we try to apply these genetic techniques to help with, you know, to be another monitoring or surveillance tool? So essentially what we use is standard genetic techniques that everybody's using. There's multiple faculty here at CMU. There's faculty at essentially every research university that are using the standard genetic techniques. We just applied them in a different way.
So you found genetic evidence of the silver in the big head?
Exactly. And essentially you could turn on any TV show in the evenings, crime shows, what have you. They're using DNA to prosecute criminals. Asian carp are leaving DNA in the environment, just like I'm leaving DNA in my coffee cup right now. They're leaving DNA in their environment. The lucky thing is it's floating in water so we can go out and collect that, and we can detect that, and we can use the techniques to say definitively that this DNA came from a bighead or a silver carp. Just like your products in the store, when you go to check out, have a barcode on them, DNA is like a barcode for species of fish.
Tammy Newcomb, how do you interpret that? Do you accept that, first of all? And if so, what's your interpretation of that?
So the first thing I want to say is the work that Dr. Mahon and his colleagues have done has been so important to us, because he's exactly right in terms of the difficulty to catch these fish. And when you think about a lake the size of Lake Erie, I mean, you could take, as an analogy, a 20-gallon aquarium, fill it full of water, put in a tiny water flea, put on some oven mitts, give yourself a quarter of a teaspoon size net, put on a blindfold, and try and catch that water flea. Okay, so that's essentially what we're trying to do when we're running around with traditional gear like nets and electrofishing, trying to find these fish in a large volume of water. So the work that they've done to detect these fish in low numbers with this very sensitive technique is so important to us. So when we got those positive eDNA results back in Lake Erie, as a management agency, we have to presume that that means a live fish. Now, at the end of the day, you don't know it's a live fish until you have a live fish in hand, because there are some other sources. But for us, the most plausible rationale for how that DNA got there could be a live fish in Lake Erie.
What are the other possibilities, Andrew Mann?
So there are other people saying, there are other studies out there that are looking at things like storm sewers, like potentially birds carrying the DNA, and potentially crop runoff that are using ground up Asian carp as fertilizer and things like that. But again, as Tammy said, it's absolutely what we've come to believe, and what the data are telling us, the most plausible explanation is that there's live fish there. The thing is we don't know how many yet, and we're at the stage where we're starting to look at not just detection, but we're trying to start to figure out, well, how many are there.
Is there an indicator species, Tammy Newcomb, that you've maybe got your eye on here that would be that the big head or silver carp would feed on, that might be kind of a canary in the coal mine here?
Well, unfortunately, big head and silver carp feed on zooplankton, so tiny little things in the water. So they're competing with our native, what we call pelagivores, or those fish that eat the zooplankton in the water column. So they're not preying on other fish.
Okay. That is a very easy thing to confuse, because it's very easy to assume that they are preying on other fish, but they're just competing for the food source.
Exactly. And okay. They get that big. I mean, they get greater than a meter long, up to 100 pounds just on tiny organisms in the water.
Back at the beginning, now this was found in Lake Erie, correct, Andrew?
They've caught bighead carp in Lake Erie, I believe, in 1995 and in 2000. So it's been a few years since they've actually caught an actual a capture of a fish in Lake Erie.
And how is it? Where is it theorized those fish came from?
There's a number of potential sources that they could have come from. I don't like to speculate where they potentially came from.
Tammy, you want to speculate where they came from?
we sort of have to. So when you look at potential sources, one source would be the bait industry, potentially. But the other source, and the most likely
source,
the bait industry. So
bait industry.
So the live food trade up until about 2000, I think it was 2002 maybe, was allowed to have live Asian carp in the markets in Canada and in the States. So the Federal Lacey Act listed these fish as injurious, so they're no longer allowed in the live trade market. So it is possible that some of those fish got in there from that live food trade market as well. And because these fish are so long-lived, it is even possible that there are fish still out there remaining from those events. But again, we haven't seen an actual fish in Lake Erie since 2000.
How long is that? How long do they live?
Andy, you can back me up on this, but I want to say they're 10 to 20 years old. They can, yeah.
Absolutely, at least that, yeah.
Is the DNR proceeding, Tammy Newcomb, is the DNR proceeding as if fish are in Lake Erie at least? And what does that mean in terms of of the road ahead.
Yes. So a couple years ago, we put together a very comprehensive plan for what we would do in the event of Asian carps reaching the Great Lakes. And the first thing, our first effort right now is on that prevention. And that prevention for us means closing down those potential avenues for those fish to get into the Great Lakes. And really the number one water, or the number one way that we see is that Chicago area waterway. So our bottom line is hydrologic, ecological separation there. But the other things that we're doing is surveillance. So we've got some positive eDNA. That's a line of evidence that tells us there's a potential for live fish to be in Lake Erie. So now what we've done is we've increased the vigilance. We've got communication materials out. We've got identification materials out for people. So we're asking people to let us know what they see. We have an online reporting form for people who think they might be seeing an Asian carp. We always like the pictures associated with those reports. But then we also are working with commercial fishermen in the Lake Erie Basin area, and we're working collaboratively with the state of Ohio as well.
Andrew Mahon, what would it mean if a big head or silver carp were captured, if you actually captured a fish here for the first time in a dozen years or so?
It means that it's time to, continue the efforts that TAMI and Michigan and Ohio and even the federal agencies are doing. The earlier that we can keep these, that we can detect and keep these fish at lower numbers, the better it'll be in the long run. And prevention is the key right now, like TAMI said. You know, we have the eDNA as a tool. It's not a silver bullet, but it's an early warning tool. For helping us. It's the fishermen going out. It's the constant vigilance to help us keep these numbers low. If we can keep the numbers low of these species in Lake Erie, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, wherever, the better chance that we can keep them from having a huge impact. And we've already seen when they're in the river systems, particularly in the Illinois River, how much of a damaging impact they can have. So the earlier we know, the better, because it'll help. Like I said, it's an early warning tool.
But what I hear you saying is it's not necessarily catastrophic that there is a small number of Asian carp in the Great Lakes. Am I right, Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not too late. As long as we, keep the vigilant, like I said, as long as we're vigilant and everybody keeps working at keeping the numbers low, and I think we have a good chance to keep them from having a huge impact.
TAMI, what do you think the future holds here? Are you more optimistic or more pessimistic with regard to this battle we're waging?
I'm very optimistic because we have several tools coming online that can help us address both the surveillance aspect of it as well as the potential eradication if we need to. And Dr. Mahon's absolutely right in terms of let's keep those numbers as low as possible so we don't build up those reproducing populations. So I'm positive of that. We have some positive things going on with the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, where President Obama has given the Great Lakes a significant amount of money to help us in this battle against invasive species. It's other invasive species as well. So I'm optimistic that we can work with our stakeholders and that we have a plan to try and address this fish issue so that it doesn't devastate our spectacular fisheries in the Great Lakes.
Dr. TAMI Newcomb is the Senior Water Policy Advisor for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, and Dr. Andrew Mahon, up in Mount Pleasant, co-authored the Asian Carp Study. He's an assistant professor of biology at the Institute for Great Lakes Research at CMU. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.